ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। दिस मॉर्निंग वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम Canto 5, Chapter 24, entitled The Subterranean Heavenly Planets, text number 26. 26 is a prose, I'll just read and then we will go to work. Okay. Tasya Mahanubhavasya Anupatam Amrichita Kashaya Ko Vashamad Vidaha परिहीन भगवत अनुग्रह उपाजिगामि शक्ति। What the word meaning? Tasya of Prahlad Maharaj Maha Anubha Anubha Vasya, who was an exalted devotee. Anupatam, the path, Amrijita Kashaya, a person who is materially contaminated. What? Va. Or. Asmat Vida, like us. Parihina Bhagavat Anugraha, being without the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Upajigama Mishati, desires to follow. Iti, thus. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Bali Maharaja said, persons like us, who are still attached to material enjoyment, who are contaminated by the modes of material nature, and who lack the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, cannot follow the supreme path of Prahlad Maharaja, the exalted devotee of the Lord. Purport. It is said that for spiritual realization, one must follow great personalities like Lord Brahma, Devarishi Narada, Lord Shiva, and Prahlad Maharaja. The path of bhakti is not at all difficult if we follow in the footsteps of previous acharyas and authorities. But those who are too materially contaminated by the modes of material nature cannot follow them. Although Bali Maharaja was actually following the path of his grandfather, because of his great humility, he thought that he was not. It is characteristic of advanced Vaishnavas following the principle of bhakti that they think themselves ordinary human beings. This is not an artificial exhibition of humility. A Vaishnava sincerely thinks this way and therefore never admits his exalted position. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Sakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Andeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sarvajatam Sargana Raghunatam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sargana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitam Sa E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute
తప్త కాంచన గౌరంగి రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభాను సుదేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియ వంచకల్పతరూపేశ్య కృపా సింధువేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శివసారి గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. హరే కృష్ణ. Srimad blessings of Assembled Vaishnavas. I will speak from Srimad Bhagavatam, Swami Purification. Okay. The chapter is Subterranean Heavenly Planets. So here Sukadeva Goswami is speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. Right? He is describing the lower planetary systems. He was explaining before the top above the earth. Now he was explaining the lower planetary system. And it's interesting. He was explaining, okay, that this planetary system, the person who is living there and who is being worshipped. So like he was explaining, and then when he came to this planet, I think Sutala, if I'm not wrong, and there it tells about Bali Maharaj. Now, Sukadeva Goswami is a Mahajan, same as Bali Maharaj as well. It's not that if you see the previous, all the verses or something, he was explaining a certain personality and what he does, and then he leaves. But when it comes to Bali Maharaj, he couldn't able to stop explaining few qualities of Bali Maharaj and about the Supreme Lord reciprocation with Bali Maharaj. So Srimad Bhagavatam is only focusing on one aspect, that is bhakti. It talks about purely about the Supreme Lord and the activities of the Supreme Lord and the activities of the devotees and how their relationship is. So over the explaining about the 14 planetary system, we can understand few things. One, every place there is a Supreme Lord is present, and every place there are some devotees who are worshipping the Supreme Lord, and how their relationship is. So this has been very boldly and explained. And Sukadeva Goswami is also, it's like adding some fuel or adding some kind of catalyst to Parikshit Maharaj's enthusiasm of hearing, because he explains certain aspect here. This is like the seed for the 8th canto, where Parikshit Maharaj is last question again about Bali Maharaj, and he wants to know about it. So it's like it's very difficult to just say okay, this person is there, and then move on to the next planet, because Sukadeva Goswami is also a pure devotee. So he likes to glorify the Lord and the devotees. So here, that's what you can see. And Bali Maharaj is also not just an ordinary person, or he's just not an ordinary king, or he's just not another resident. No. He is showing the essence of religious principle, how one should surrender to the Supreme Lord. How can one surrender? So it's a very special person. We can see it. So from 21 to 26, the six verses are there. The first three verses was mainly the Lord, what he did with Bali Maharaj. I'll just read that verse. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in everyone's heart as a super soul, sells himself to his devotees such as Narada Muni. In other words, the Lord gives pure love to such devotees and gives himself to those who love him purely. Great self-realized mystic yogis such as the four Kumaras also derive great transcendental bliss from realizing the super soul within themselves. The Supreme Personality of Godhead did not award his mercy to Bali Maharaj by giving him material happiness and opulence. For this make one forget loving service to the Lord. The result of material opulence is that one can no longer observe his mind in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead could see no other means of taking everything away from Bali Maharaj, he adopted the trick of begging from him and took away all the three worlds. Thus only his body was left. But the Lord was still not satisfied. He arrested Bali Maharaj, bound him with the rope of Varuna and threw him in a cave in a mountain. Nevertheless, although all his property was taken, he was thrown into a cave. Bali Maharaj was such a great devotee that he spoke as follows. So the Lord Bali Maharaj is gave everything what he had to the Supreme Lord, and he has surrendered, heartfelt surrender to the Supreme Lord. Now this is the Lord reciprocation in this, that he has arrested him, bounded with a rope, treat him like a prisoner who has done a mistake, and put him in a cave. Now, you know, you are there, for example, you are eating or something, maybe in your plate you have one samosa, for example. You have one samosa in your plate. And a devotee comes and then he asks, can you give me three samosa? So you go and find out you got some two samosas and then you gave the devotee. And then you find out, then you realize, yeah, you have one plate in your plate, one samosa. You took that samosa and you gave that to your devotee. Now you will think, oh Prabhu, you are so nice. I asked three, you gave me two. Not only that, you also gave it from your plate. Such a wonderful quality you have. Imagine that's what your expectation would be most of the time, that the devotee will appreciate, okay, fine. Or there'll be a tug of war, oh Prabhu, you take it. Loving like the relationship. Tadarthi Pradikanati, that you give and take, That's a Priti Lakshana. Affection, you show the affection by this kind of external activity. But here, the devotee not responding that way. He's saying, how I asked you three samosa, you couldn't able to give them. On top of that, you gave in from whatever you have, that, from your plate. I really hate you. Don't ever stand before me. Just get out of it. You couldn't able to fulfill my simple desire which I asked. On top of that, you know, what is this nonsense? You give your whatever you have. That's yours. One may think, you know, one may then the other person may think, you know, I gave what I was meant to eat for me, and I gave that to you. You know, at least you should show some gratefulness. Okay, fine, I don't want any appreciation. At least be grateful of what I gave, you know, come on. One may think here, a person who has all the three worlds, and he has given everything to the Lord. One may think, why the Lord is doing like this to Bali Maharaj? So that means, is that what the Lord going to do to everyone who is going to give up everything to the Lord? Imagine that, you know, we tell, okay, surrender, sarvadharman parityajya, mam ekam sharanam raja, ham tuam sarva papiru, moksha ashin vasu chaha. Do not fear, I'll put you in the cave. You surrender everything, do not fear, I'll bound you with the rope, I will tie you and I will put you in the cave. And not only that, I'll put you in the hell. One may think, man, this is very scary. There is a reason why the Lord does that. In order to touch, you know, test the gold, you rub the gold with the touchstone. You don't go, someone say, okay, this is a gold. If you see in any place where the goldsmith, they have a particular stone. And if you give the gold, they will not accept like that. Oh yeah, oh thank you, it looks very nice color and shining. Let me take it. What they do is they take the gold and they rub it against the... So that way we know it reveals the purity of gold. It reveals the purity of gold. It shows the substance of that material. So similarly, the Lord wants to magnify the glory of His devotee by putting in that rubbing situation. Like, you know, it's like, suppose you have a wound, then you show to your mother, Mother, I got a wound, don't worry, I'll put some salt into it. You may feel, what is it? I just said, Mother, you can't do, you know. So similarly, you know, mundane example, but the Lord wants to make sure that my devotee is not even tinged of any unmotivated surrender, or he is not after any material opulence or inner recognition. Here you can see that. He wants only, solely devotion to me. I can treat him. So the Lord says, you know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Shishtashtaka, what he says, Lord, you can treat me any way you wanted. You can treat me like hard, rush, no, like harsh, like anything, thunderbolt, whatever, you can do whatever you want. I will not give up my position as a servant to you. So, this is the Lord magnifies the purity of the surrender. The Lord magnifies the glory of the devotee. I see my devotee. He surrendered everything. I put him in the cave. Still, he is sane. So the Lord, you know, treating devotee in the most harsh way, but the devotee is so pleasurable for that. So there was one, there's a story in Chaitanya Charitamrita. If you see the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's most of the episode is just the dealing between the Supreme Lord and his devotees, and the loving relationship between the devotees and the Lord. So, Sanatana Goswami went to Jagannath Puri to meet the Lord. Because of his traveling, he has developed these boils all over his body. And there's the abominable stuff blood and pus was oozing out of his body, and he was so embarrassed to see the Mahaprabhu, and he comes to see, you know, he avoids the main road of Puri. He feels that he is not eligible to enter the Jagannath temple. His main goal of visiting Jagannath Puri is to see the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and see Jagannath. So that was his, he wants to benefit, he feels that this is my only benefit, I will do my benefit, I'll get happiness and benefit is just by seeing Jagannath and taking darshan of Mahaprabhu. But then Mahaprabhu would embrace him every time he meets. And he was feeling this, I thought this is going to be beneficial, this yatra is going to be beneficial, but this is going to other way around. I'm causing so much pain, I don't want Mahaprabhu to touch me, I don't want Sri Chaitanya to embrace me. I feel very awkward. What to do in this situation? I don't want this then. So he met Jagannanda Pandit. He said, I would like to get your advice, what to do in this situation. I came here, but I feel like I'm not, you know, very beneficial, or I feel very awkward. So Jagannanda Pandit said, I think it's better you go back to Vrindavan. I think that's a place where Mahaprabhu also told you to stay. It's better you go back to Vrindavan after Jagannath Rath Yatra, because you already had the darshan of Mahaprabhu, and Jagannath will come in Rath Yatra time out. You will have the darshan of Jagannath and then go back. Don't stay here. He said, oh, this is a wonderful advice, this wonderful idea, I like this. So I would do that. So when he was meeting Mahaprabhu, he said, I came, I thought I would be beneficial, but I thought this is causing trouble. And according to the opinion of Jagannath and the Pandit, I would like to go back to Vrindavan. Mahaprabhu became so angry. He said, who is this Jagannanda? He is just a small boy. He is giving advice to you. What do you think of himself? You are like a spiritual master. I have to take opinion from you. You are such a great dude. What is this small, you know, this advice that, you know, you go to Vrindavan? How can he give like that? So he was chastising Jagannanda. Now, it's interesting, Sanatana Goswami said, oh, now I understand what is your relationship with Jagannanda Pandit. So Mahaprabhu, he said, what do you mean by that? Sanatana Goswami is saying, oh, you are giving him the nectar of chastisement and you are giving me the bitter juice of respect. Why are you doing like this to me? So Sanatana Goswami is saying, so he is feeling that if someone is giving harsh a chastisement, then he is accepting him as a servant. You can see this episode again and again when Advaita Acharya also, Advaita Acharya was his god, you know, Ishwara Puri contemporary. Mahaprabhu used to think that he is like his spiritual master, because Advaita Acharya, Ishwara Puri, all got initiated from Madhavendra Puri. So then Mahaprabhu treat him like a spiritual master. But Advaita Acharya doesn't want him to treat like a spiritual master. He wants to serve Mahaprabhu. So there were like a little bit of, you know, thing was happening. So then Advaita Acharya said, okay, I know how to make him serve. I will preach Mayavad. I will preach Mayavad. Then he was preaching Mayavad and the news went to Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu came and he was beating him, chastising. Then he said, now, yeah, I'm happy now. He started treating me like a servant. So why I'm saying this is because the devotee is so happy when the Lord is giving him that kind of treatment or recognition that he's accepting me as his servant. And what is the devotee response when the Lord says, okay, fine, we think, oh, oh my God, the Lord has put him in that kind of situation, even though he has surrendered everything. But we can see the next three verses. What is the response of Bali Maharaj? What is his heart? Where is his heart is? We can see. So first is, Bali Maharaj is lamenting. One may think, yes, one may lament, okay, one for lament for oneself. Oh, why did I do? I should have not given this promise. I should have not given this, you know, three steps. See, what is my condition? Pitiful. I am the king of heavenly planets. I had all the three worlds under my control. Now see, I am inside my cave. All, you know, why did I do that? One may say, one may go through again and again. What did I, you know, I was getting all the recognition and fame in doing this service. And I gave this service, you know, why did I do that? Why did I give that to that Prabhu? A thing like that. Why did I give that, you know, samosa to that Prabhu? We may be going back and lamenting. It's very ignorant. But here, Bali Maharaj is not lamenting for himself. He was lamenting for Indra. He was lamenting for Indra. Not only Indra, Indra's spiritual master. He is saying, what did Indra do? Indra had the opportunity. He had the Lord in front of him. He had Lord as visited him. He was having Lord in front of him. And he chose material opulence instead of the Lord. He chose material opulence instead of the Lord. Now you see contrast of Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj had all the material opulence. But he chose the Lord instead of the material opulence. That's where there is a difference between the pure devotee and the demigod. And then he's saying, why did Indra do this? And he, not only that, okay, he would have asked straight to the Lord. Okay, you want material opulence? Ask straight to the Lord. Lord, I want this three world. I want heavenly rich. I want to become the king again. Can you make it? He would have done that. Why would you make a Lord into a beggar? Why would you use the Supreme Lord for your own service? Instead, you should be serving the Supreme Lord. You should have aspired to become a devotee of his. You have aspired to become his devotee. Rather, he said, why would you do that? Alas, why would you do that? You made the Supreme Lord into bed. What about Brihaspati? Okay, fine. You have the intelligence. At least Brihaspati, he is the intelligent. His guru, why didn't he give instruction to his, you know, disciple Indra? At least he would have told him. Okay, fine. You would have asked the Lord, oh Lord, give me the three riches. Otherwise, if you don't ask, at least you would have sent Brihaspati. I would have happily given that same. Because Brihaspati is also a Brahmana. If you would have sent Brihaspati to me, that asking for this three step or the whole kingdom or whatever, I could have happily given. You know, you didn't ask correct favor, or you didn't. So he was lamenting, going again and again, thinking about the situation of Indra. There is a great lamentation, because, you know, if you see the contemporary of the Acharyas, they also lament, not for themselves or anything. They lament seeing the pitiful condition of the jivas. Why would they, you know, take this Krishna consciousness? Why would they not surrender to the Supreme Lord? Such a wonderful, glorious thing. Why would you ask poison knowingly? So they lament, you know, here we see Bali Maharaj is lamenting not for his own pitiful condition. Rather, he is lamenting seeing the choice of Indra. What he would have done? Oh, he would have, like he was feeling really from his heart about the choice he made. He could have easily got devotion. The Lord was there. The Lord was ready to do whatever he wanted. Rather, he asked for this material thing. That's a thing. One may think, oh, this Bali Maharaj has given everything. But what, you know, Bali Maharaj is saying, what are you talking about this sovereignty? These material opulence may pass us last only for the age of Manu. Just time. It's just a matter of time that all the opulence is going to go away. Why you are attached to these opulence and material things? These are all going to go away. But Bali Maharaj, you know, gave that one thing. Oh, this is what happened to Bali Maharaj. Like he gave everything. But he gave something very insignificant. And in return, he got the Supreme Lord completely. What a transaction. You give something very insignificant. Material things, which is compared nothing. It anyway doesn't belong to us. Right? We didn't bring anything. We just, you know, inner hit or acquire things by itself. And then, you know, we give that to the Supreme Lord. And then you think, oh, I've given. So then, the Lord see the intent, not the content. The intent of a devotee. And then the Lord himself giving him completely to Bali Maharaj. What he is to, he is standing outside his door. The Supreme Lord has taken everything. Many things, he has taken everything. But he has given himself completely to the devotee. And he is serving him. So just then one may think, oh, then material renunciation alone, it matters. Then it's, we can get the Supreme Lord. No. What else is required? That's why the second verse is telling about Prahlad Maharaj. He's talking about second aspect is mercy. First he was lamenting. Now he's telling about the mercy of that Prahlad Maharaj received. Prahlad Maharaj, the Supreme Lord has killed Hiranyakashipu. Now by all means, Prahlad Maharaj is eligible to be in the throne. In any angle you see. The father is gone, the son has to be in the throne. The son has to be in the, enjoy the material opulence. But Prahlad Maharaj said, no, I don't want. No one would have, you know, thought bad. Why Prahlad Maharaj became king? It's a natural thing. The next person, the prince, will rule the kingdom. But Prahlad Maharaj said, no, I don't want that. I don't want material opulence. I don't want this and that. What you want? I said, I want the service to Vaishnava. I want to become a servant of the servant. How can one can have like this kind of mentality? That's because only by the favor of the Supreme Lord. That is why it's possible. Not just by mere renunciation or jnana, one can get aversion to matter. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, premature renunciation without the qualification or the purification of the heart only causes disturbance in the society. But for devotees, because they are engaging in devotional service, then they can be detached to matter. Renunciation is a byproduct of bhakti. The moment we give up the bhakti, then what things we usually renounce will come back to our heart. Krishna says, yeah, you cannot renounce your activity, your duty. You should not renounce your duty. How can you renounce your duty falsely without in the position of you don't have the qualification? But if you are doing, performing bhakti, then okay, because you, when you perform bhakti, because everything is used in the service of Krishna, the renouncing spirit is there. You do the activity not attached to the result, and the result is offered to Krishna. So he is saying this mercy, Prahlad Maharaj got the mercy. He is a great He said he is interested in the self interest. Only person who understood his own self interest. He understood what is important. Self realization is important, not this material acquisition or position. So thus I want to be a servant of his servant. Engage in the service of his servant. Now Bali Maharaj is coming to the last verse. He's saying, what he's saying? Persons like us who are still attached to material enjoyment, who are contaminated by the modes of material nature and who lack the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, cannot follow the supreme path of Prahlad Maharaj. He is comparing, he is saying, I didn't have mercy and I am not like Prahlad Maharaj where I can surrender fully. So he is putting into, even though he is like that, the next verse, you know, we'll talk about last verse where Sukadeva Goswami conclude. You can see that he is like that, but he is showing humility. Humility. Humility is one of the key virtue in the path of bhakti. Humility is required to do any service in Krishna consciousness. Without humility, we cannot actually do service, because service means we are servant of Krishna. Without humility, we cannot able to serve someone. Humility is actually the key, because when we think we take the lower position, then we can able to perform that service. So Bali Maharaj is saying, I cannot follow the supreme path of Prahlad Maharaj, the exalted devotee of the Lord, because I lack the mercy of the Supreme Lord and I am contaminated by the modes, which he actually is not. So Prabhupada here clearly says, although Bali Maharaj was actually following the path of his grandfather, because of his great humility, he thought that he was not. It is characteristic of advanced Vaishnavas following the principle of bhakti that they think themselves ordinary human being. This is a quality of Uttama Adhikari, that he thinks that everyone is a perfect devotee, that I am not. This is not an artificial exhibition of humility. Because, yes, you know, sometimes devotees ask how to develop humility, or, you know, humility is there. But really, if you think about it, you cannot have like a curriculum to teach people how to be humble or something. How do you explain it is a kind of a feeling and emotion, how do you put in words? Yes, we can be humble, but then that humility actually increases our devotion. It's a state of our heart that we feel very low. How can we express that in someone, you know, like in a formula? When humility is required, even Mahaprabhu says, Trinada Pishuni Shena, Tarada Pisharishuna, Amanina Manide. Kirtaniya Sadahari. To chant the holy name, one requires humility. So Prabhupada, recently we were listening to lecture of Prabhupada in Kunti Maharani prayer, where Kunti Maharani also considered herself not eligible to see the Lord, even though the Lord is available or visible to the great Paramahamsas and the Munis, and not available to ordinary person. But she is so humble because the Lord is in front, the Lord is present in front of her. But still she considered that I couldn't able to see the Lord. So Prabhupada actually interesting bring one point in that lecture. He says humility is required for practicing devotee. Why humility is required? Because the external energy is so powerful. The external energy is so powerful and is also lot of disturbance in this world. Yet padam padam yatvi padam natesham. Every step is a danger. It's like we are in the ocean, tossed by the waves of the material energy, and is always disturbed. And the Maya likes to test a devotee, likes to put in difficult. We should be humble enough to take shelter of Krishna's holy name, humble enough to follow the regulative principle very strictly. We cannot be proud, because the waves, you know, for example, the waves when you go to the beach or something, and the big waves are coming, you cannot stand against the waves. Right? It will hit you hard. Rather, you go down the waves, then you don't feel the heat. You go below the waves. So, when one have that quality of humility, taking shelter, feeling oneself, you know, helpless, we pray, please engage me in your devotional service. This is our prayer, this is our chanting. Because one feels helpless, because that the material energy is so strong, one needs to be humble to get, ask for help. In material world, if you see, sometimes the false ego is so strong that we don't want to ask help. I can figure it out. I know what I'm doing. It's just simple. I'll fix it. But if we are humble, we ask for help. Because people think, oh, what will that person think if I ask something? I should present myself very knowledgeable. Otherwise, I should not be looking like dumb. But actually, our Vaishnava philosophy is that we inquire submissively. Our process is a revealing process. It is not like academic, where we can figure it out. And the most complex thing has to be revealed. How that revelation comes? When we humbly, submissively inquire unto that personality who can actually give us the truth. That is why in the starting, Prabhupada says, path of bhakti is not at all difficult if we follow in the footsteps of previous acharyas and authorities. The previous acharyas and authorities, how they have perfected them, because they have humbly, submissively inquired from their spiritual master and follow their instruction. Now it is very interesting in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, even if you think you are the self-realized person, you have nothing to do with the matter or material duty, prescribed duty, still you have to do the duty just to set an example so that people can follow. Now, when we do, usually when we say follow, we should be very careful that we should not imitate. There is a little difference between follow and imitate. People like to imitate the action. When a person is there, action and speaking, we should follow his words, not his action. That's why Krishna is saying, you may be, for example, yes, Arjuna, I know you are a pure devotee. You have all the qualification to renounce everything and go to forest, and you will succeed because you have full control over your senses and mind. And you are spiritual, you have nothing to do with the material duty, you will be okay because you have that adhikar. But what about other people? They will also follow you. Because your action, that you leave the war and you go to the forest, and other people also will do the same thing, leave their prescribed duty, which is prescribed duty according to the Varnashram Dharma, which is prescribed in the Vedas,
under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, if one person does that, that will bring purification of the heart. That is called yajna. But that person, if he just leaves this everything and goes to forest as following your footstep, following your action, which is good for you but not for other. So that's what the problem happened. When someone just imitate the action, they don't consider the value or the fact that whether this thing will bring me elevation or degradation. The Prabhupada, you know, may not be sleeping that much. He's Acharya, he is fully pure. He may be sleeping 2 hours, getting up in the morning 2 o'clock or 1 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and then translating 4 hours. Can we follow that action? We will be finished. We will be like chanting 16 times, the next day we will be struggling. We cannot, but we have to follow his words. So Burujan Prabhu brings out this theme actually in his commentary. He says, people see, oh, Krishna is saying, oh, you have to do the duty. Krishna is doing action which is contradictory to his words. What kind of a person? He is not following dharma. He is stealing. He is having, you know, playtime with his friends, boyfriends and girlfriends. What kind of person? He is speaking something and he is doing something. Yeah, but he is, why he is doing? To again prove the point, he is supremely independent. I know sometimes we say, like sometimes the police or something, you know, crossing red or something, red signal, or the catching someone or going in the red signal or going in 120 in, you know, in, for example, Dang Street, which is 40 kilometers. Now, if you stop the police and, hey, what is this, man? You're just zooming and then you cross the red light. That person will say, I will do what you can do. You can do anything, go do. You can't do anything. In India, they say, straight on the face, I will do that. I will break the rules. What you can do? Okay, sir, nothing. Just I thought I'll ask. Because the Supreme Lord is supremely independent. Even though he puts the rules and regulations, dharma is coming from him. The Supreme Lord is giving. But he is supremely independent because he is Swaraj. Why is supremely independent? Then the second point comes, because he is supremely independent in satisfying the devotees the way they wanted. I will go to any extent. If it has to break my law which I created, it has to break my words, doesn't matter. I will be supremely independent and also supremely independent to serve the devotees according to their want. So to show that, he does that. But then Prabhupada writes in that same commentary, Prabhupada, people like to take intoxicant following the action of Lord Shiva, thinking that Lord Shiva drank all the poison. Nilakanta he is, yeah. What these people also thinking? Oh, yeah, I will also do that. What are they doing? They are bringing their death close by. It's just a matter of time, you will be dying. They are thinking the intoxicant is imitating the action of Shiva. People want to imitate the action of Krishna. They are following the words, not the action. So, to follow the words, Prabhupada, again, you know, this is another one of the advancement, how to advance in bhakti, nectar of instruction. Rupa Goswami says, sato vritti, sangatyaga sato vritti, follow the previous acharya. What is that actually? Prabhupada says that if you attend morning program, then you are following the previous acharyas. If you are attending morning program, that you chanting, following four regulative principles. Because who gave this morning program? Who gave that we have to chant morning and we have to get up a Mangalati, all this? Because these are given by the previous acharya. Srila Prabhupada gave us. Okay, this is the program. So that is exactly the following the footsteps of previous acharyas. That one is following the morning program, the instructions of the previous acharyas, and also one is keeping time occupied. The previous acharyas has made sure that our time is filled with the activities of Krishna consciousness for our own benefit. This is satovritti. This is satovritti. This is not asat. Sato, that higher value. Their vision is that they are only,
interested in the superior nature, higher value, sat, which is eternal, activities which is eternal. Activities which is eternal. And they are giving, okay, these are the activities you perform. Do Harinam, do book distribution, do prasadam distribution, do cooking, do deity worship, chant, read the books, hear the lecture. This is what the guru is saying. Because why? These are all eternal activities. These are not going to be bound into the material world. So these kind of activities one following, then they are following the steps of previous acharyas. So we have to be very clear in that. So here, the humility and following the footsteps, this is the purpose that Prabhupada is stressing. And this is because this is what Bali Maharaj is praying. So these are the points I thought I'll discuss. I'll leave there and see if anyone has any corrections or want to add comments or addition or any questions. Srimad Bhagavatam ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.